Hey, welcome to But Wait. There's More, a conversation show about things we're thinking about, things we care about, and living out as the people of Legacy Church in Plano, Texas. I'm Kevin, and today we're continuing our legacy tradition of sitting down with the people God has brought into our church family. We're calling this series, Do You Even Know Me? Because it's easy to assume you know someone until you realize you really don't. And today, I have our new youth pastor, Josh, in the studio. Josh joined us in August after finishing a season as a camp director for Generate Camps. Shout out to them for letting us steal their best people. And serving, also, you served as the leader of a youth group in Birmingham, Alabama. Before that, Josh grew up in Keller, graduated from Ouachita Baptist University. Josh, first question, what was harder, graduating from that college or pronouncing the name for everyone who asked where you went to school?
Oh, pronouncing and spelling, definitely.
How do you pronounce it? Can I say it right?
Ouachita. So W-A-S-H-I-T-A.
But it's O-U-A. Yeah,
I already watched it. It's too many letters.
We're not re-recording. We're rolling with it. Josh, we're going to play a game to get things rolling. Here's the rules of the game. I'll ask a question. The answer you give will in some way, probably indirectly, relate back to something in your own life. Kind of make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Josh, don't know how you are with American history, but...
Poor, but yeah, okay. I'm ready for it.
I'm counting on you for this one, though.
Yeah.
Josh, who was the very first Secretary of Treasury of the United States of America?
Oh, that would be the Alexander Hamilton.
Alexander Hamilton. Ding, ding, ding. He's right. And here's why. Hamilton also won the Tony for Best Musical in 2016, which steamrolled culture. It wasn't just a phenomenon in that community, but everyone wanted in on the action. Do you like musicals?
Oh, I love musicals. Give me any and all of them anytime. Wicked comes out soon, maybe.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm excited for it.
Do you have a favorite?
Something Rotten, which was on Broadway a handful of years ago. But I got to see that here in Dallas a few years ago, and it was absolutely incredible. And I love how much it makes fun of Shakespeare.
It's okay, really, really I love that. One. Let me ask you this. If you could be in a musical, what would your dream role be? And why do I think it's going to surprise me?
That is a great question. You're probably looking at me and thinking he shouldn't be cast for Hercules. And that's probably the one I would like, you know, on my way. I think the whole thing is great. So whenever they do the live action, they may already be in production of one. But whenever they do that, I'm definitely putting my name in the hat.
Do we need to watch out? Are you leaving us to go and join the cast?
Side gig.
Yeah. I love it. All right. Question number two. Who are Jan Frodeno, Mark Allen, Dave Scott, and Chrissy Wellington?
The backup members for the Beatles? No idea.
No. They are the greatest triathletes of all time. Mm. You once trained for a triathlon.
Yes.
How'd it go?
It was super fun and so boring. I respect people who can... do long distances like that so much, but I was running long periods of time and biking long periods of time and trying not to drown for long periods of time. And it got super old, super quick, but it was a fun challenge and a new
thing. No, I said it. I want to make sure I said it right. I said you once trained.
Yes. Did not compete. Okay. Did not compete. Yeah.
Okay. What do you do for fun, for exercise? Do you have outdoor stuff? And what is your kind of hobby or interest?
Yeah. For me, it is anything with a ball that can be chased or frisbee that can be chased. So my sport in college was ultimate frisbee. We took our team to the championship most years and consistently lost in the championship most years because we were all about my height, which is not the tallest, and we played 6'5" guys all the time. So it's very
That's
sad.
A blast.
I know, it's a great time. So anything like that, pickleball, spikeball, any of the sports that like most people didn't grow up playing that I could have a competitive edge at. So don't get me on basketball, baseball, football, none of those. But
there's
the
a whole aisle sport. At Academy just
yes.
for those sports.
Yes, exactly. It's the Josh legitimate. Case aisle. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So could we expect in the future to have some ultimate frisbee, what do you call them, goals, the chain bucket?
Yes, you're thinking of disc golf. But
disc golf.
Yes, we could
okay.
definitely. Yeah.
Oh,
we
yeah. Also, ultimate's like rugby without the
yes.
tackling.
Yes. without the tackling and without the ball and without the goalpost. But yeah,
but exactly.
Okay. That.
I was thinking frisbee golf.
Yeah. No, yeah. Ultimate frisbee, much better, much more interesting to watch, and played a ton in high school and college. I think I was playing probably 3 or 4 hours a day in college.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And you graduated.
Yeah, and I graduated.
Congratulations.
With honors.
All right, question number three. Name the movie in which part of the storyline is about a rooster whose dad is a goose. It's a movie. A big movie. It's a huge blockbuster. Which part of the storyline is about a rooster whose dad is a goose?
Is it Chicken Little?
No. Womp.
Okay.
Top Gun Maverick.
All right. Kudos. Okay. Kudos. I got you.
Yeah, because when the main character in Maverick is not Maverick, but he's dealing with the son of Goose, Anthony Edwards from the first movie, whose call sign is Rooster. Here's why I bring that up. You're a fan of Dallas sports. Yes. Dallas Mavericks. There we go.
Yeah.
Cowboys, Rangers. You doing okay?
You know, it's been a tough year. I think we're on the up and up, you know, made some good trades recently.
That's what we say a lot.
Cowboys are coming back. I don't think it's our year. I think next year might be. I don't think this is our year. Mavericks probably need a rebuild. Mm-hmm. Rangers, I don't know what needs to happen there. But, yeah, there's some heartbreak. But, hey, a couple of years ago, great year for Rangers baseball. We got the national championship, and then same thing happened. We were close with the Mavericks. So
tell me about some of your favorite teams. Why are they your favorite teams? How did you get locked in?
Yeah. So for me, it was growing up, always a Cowboys fan, watched all of those games. Same thing with the Rangers and would go to those. And then, you know, I start moving away and out of Texas. And it was just like that's home. That's something to hold on to. Yeah. And so Dallas sports, and then it kind of, I'm a competitive person, so as soon as people started trash talking about the Mavericks, I really doubled down there.
Yeah.
Same thing for University of Texas is my team for college football.
See, I think you were okay. Now there are people at Legacy
I know.
Who are going to revolt.
I know. Yes.
Hearing that.
You can send your complaints to Kevin Boyd.
Bring it on. We've got a file for that. Hey, let me ask you this. Did you see the other day, in the middle of all of the Nico Harrison firing and in the wake of that, with, you know, so much fan uproar and we're still mad, lost Luka, we got back Anthony Davis. Did you see Anthony Davis, who is not in his best shape, not playing, wearing a Packers jersey?
Oh, I missed that.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's at a game.
That's not great.
At a game. Wearing a Packers jersey.
Was it a Micah jersey?
I don't remember who it was. Okay. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I just saw the story, and I thought, of all of the things you could do right now, dude.
Right.
What on earth?
Be maybe worse if it was an Eagles jersey, but not
much. A lot.
Like, yeah,
not
that's,
a lot.
That's not a Dallas thing.
All right, question four. What do all of these things have in common? You ready?
Okay.
I'm going to give you a list. A pool noodle, 3 glow sticks, a kazoo, and a Rubbermaid bin.
They're all things you need for glow in the dark, capture the flag.
I mean, ding, 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 ding. I'm going to count it. My answer is they're all used in camp, youth camp.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
camp rec, that's it.
Yeah.
Hey, Josh, how does it feel stepping into youth ministry here at Legacy right now?
Yeah. Incredible. Just such a absolutely sweet thing to have everybody all together. I've loved getting to know students. I've loved getting to know our volunteers, but the church family as a whole. But yeah, I think there's a lot of really cool things happening within our student ministry. I think we're growing together and growing closer together. And, I'm happy to be a part of that as I get to know students, you know, having only been here a couple months. So, that's been really sweet. And so I think, dream job, dream place to be here at Legacy with the students that we have right now is really, really sweet thing.
One of the things that you get to be is the advocate for the next generation.
Yeah.
You get to be a truth teller. You get to experience teenagers in a different way than parents do.
Yeah.
You know, parents, we can be conflicted at times. We can go, they're amazing, but I'm so frustrated. You get to see another side of their life as they're discovering their calling, their identity, their relationship with the Lord afresh for themselves for the first time. What do you wish the whole church knew about teenagers right now?
Oh, I think many of us know this, whether it's conscious or unconscious. I think maybe we don't reflect on it enough, but we think about how much we changed in that age range from like 12 to 18 or whatever the case may be. But you think about how much life happens right there and how much your beliefs are formed. Statistics tell us that I think the majority of people come to know the Lord between the ages of 4 and 14, and so student ministry is a part of that. And then there's this incredible time that we have with them, and then it also tells us that about, I don't know the statistics for Plano, but it tells us the majority of people will walk away from the church once they graduate high school. And so if we think about all of those things together, we know student ministry is so important.
Yes.
And it's so important for them to build their beliefs and really hold on to what they believe in, and then form as more than just in theology, but in life and in practice as well. Like we're training up future adults, right, and young adults. And so we're getting the chance to speak into their life as a whole. And so it's so important. And we all recognize that, right? We all remember the formation that happens in that age gap. But I think sometimes we forget about, just how important it was, or just how influential it was to the really trajectory of our whole lives.
I love that. I'm going to hop to this. What is maybe one of the more identity forming moments in your life?
True. So many. Yeah. I think two come to mind quickly, and we just talked about, you know, they're both for me between that 14 and 18 window. Think about my salvation, right? Being I was saved while at camp as a student, and so that was a huge impactful moment in my life. But then I think about my youth pastor's name was Rob Watson, and absolutely love him, and he invested so much in me, still invests in me today. But he was the person who kind of showed me what does it look like to care for somebody else, right? And so very formative in my call to ministry, my call to youth ministry, and my view on, hey, we get the opportunity to care for students, to love students. And so, yeah, both of those moments kind of happened in that 14 to 18 window. Now, many more formative moments throughout life, but sure. I think about two of the biggest ones in beginning a relationship with Christ and in feeling called to ministry, both happened in high school. So it's
cool. Same for me. And yeah. I don't think it's everyone's story, but common in my story, my youth group, moments at A Disciple Now and a camp that were deeply trajectory setting, and a youth pastor who showed me what real care, person on person, life on life, being fully present ministry looked like. And I love that you experienced that. Let me ask you, though, what has been a challenge to your identity or your confidence? Maybe especially as a young pastor stepping into leadership or making a move cross-country or wrestling with the idea of calling. What's been a challenge to your identity or confidence?
That's a great question. I think, I think back to February when started having the conversation about moving here. And I think one of the things that was hard for a little bit of just kind of thinking through, it's a new thing, right? And
sure.
New things can be scary. I love new things. And I love trying new things. I love everything to do with new people, places, things. And at the same time, they scare me, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that was back in the spring, just kind of walking through what does a new season look like? And then trying to be faithful to what has God gifted me in, and where can I use those giftings for his kingdom, right? And I think there were multiple times back in the spring where I think I narrowed it in too much. You know, I think often we'll talk about calling as tightrope, right? Where
sure.
It's really a sidewalk, like mm-hmm. You've got space, and it's the question, can you do that and glorify God?
It's really good.
And so for me back in the spring, it was, I was trying to walk a tightrope when God had given me a sidewalk. And so, you know, as challenging, absolutely, but it's also one of the sweetest things is when I kind of took a step back, and there was a buddy coming alongside of me and saying, hey, you know, like new things are going to make you nervous. But like, that's good. And you can walk in those things. And just him speaking truth into my life was formative for me to continue to walk through those challenges. So yeah, it was really, really sweet.
You know, when you write your book, the title is going to have to be Tight Ropes and Sidewalks.
Oh, 100%.
That is so good.
Yeah.
I think that's going to help somebody just hearing that on this podcast.
Yeah.
It's really great. Really insightful. And really wise. Here's my experience with you from the very first phone call, and it has maintained some of the exact same hallmarks every encounter I've had with you and as I've watched you meeting people here. You are observably a curious person, a joyful person, and one of the most fully present people I've ever met. Where does that come from?
Well, that's a good question. I could tell you some of the curiosity comes from sitting in the car with my dad and thinking silence meant anger. And so a little bit of that is I would always try to get him talking, right? And so, which it did not by any means, right? Six-year-old Josh didn't have a full, so I look back at that. But no, I think it comes along with the new places, new people, new things is, you know, everybody has a story. And so one of my favorite things is biographies, and I really enjoy them because they're stories that are so different than my life and my context that it's just like fascinating to me. And so I think it's fun, getting to know people and getting to hear their biography, right? Not everybody writes it down, but most people will be willing to share it in conversation. And so hearing, okay, how do people get from here to here? And it's so cool to see how God works differently in everybody's life and gets them from place to place. And so I think it's, for me, maybe it's a little bit selfish, but I just really enjoy like hearing people's stories and how they got there. And so,
which is a funny way to describe it. It's selfish for me to want to hear people talk about themselves.
Yeah, sure.
People have commented on you being a really good question asker and being able to actually listen to the answers. And I think it's a remarkable quality in maybe in any age, but maybe more so in our age than any other time before, because we're not really good at listening. Mm. We live in a time that we have centered so much on self, because our habits have trained us to focus on what do I want, how do I want it. We got a lot of sovereignty and at work functionally in our daily lives. We act like a sovereign self. And so in the middle of that, to have someone who says, I'm ready to be with you and listen to you and orient around you is pretty amazing. How do you cultivate that kind of presence with students in a culture of distraction?
It's hard. I think it's hard for a couple of reasons, but I think one of the parts of getting to be intentional with them is that in a area of distraction, maybe it's a little bit different when people slow down and take time to see them. And maybe they're not getting that and experiencing that at school or on sports teams or whatever the pace may be, I think the pace of life, right? We're constantly A to B, and that's especially true in high schoolers and middle schoolers' life right now. You think about how much they're involved in and how much is going on in life. And so trying to take those moments to step back and, hey, how was your week? What's going on in your world? I think is twofold. I think it's helpful for them to slow down. But then, it's an opportunity just to hear what's going on in their life and speak truth and love, into their life. And so, I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah. But I mean, I think there's so much power in, student ministry in particular, humanity, but my even just short foray into serving as kind of the interim in that area, if students feel seen, they feel safe.
Yeah. Yep.
They feel they belong.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what group they're a part of outside of the room. Doesn't matter what story or narrative that they've been living based upon.
Yeah.
When they walk in and Josh sees me, it's transformative and it opens things up. And you're doing that so well. How could you help others to move at that pace? whether it be leaders or parents or even, you know, a lot of disciple making is reproducing the things in people that are have been produced in us. How can you help others also in the midst of a hurried, distracted age be able to linger long enough to see the person in front of them?
That is a great question. I don't know if I have all of the answers.
Okay. Let's just figure it out.
To that, but I think it starts with the intentionality part of that, of reminding yourself to slow down and look around first, right? Because if we don't see them, right, we're never going to have a conversation, right? And so it's twofold, right? You want to be looking around, but you want to be present in the places you are. But taking those moments to like take a step back and look around, okay, like who's on the outside, or where are the opportunities? Like God's consistently placing opportunities in front of us, right? And it begins with us being able to acknowledge those, and to acknowledge them, we have to see them, right? And so taking steps back and looking around is like, okay, who has God put in my path right now? Okay, and what would be loving in this situation? And I think often just a conversation is a great starting point to.
Absolutely.
You want to love somebody, you want to invest in them, you got to know them. And so how do you know somebody? You ask questions and you listen to their answers, and then you don't just blow by. Yeah. But hey, it's there's statistic floating out somewhere, and I can't remember where I saw it or what the quote that went with it was, but the idea being that often in conversations that we are first thinking about our answers before we ever listen to what the person is saying. So we can take any introduction, for example, right? If most people, statistics tell us, when I meet you, Kevin, I say, hey, my name's Josh. I'm so worried and focused on the my name is Josh part that I don't listen to you say, hey, my name is Kevin.
Yeah.
And so it starts with us being intentional of, okay, the focus is not my name is Josh. The focus is your name is Kevin. And so kind of shifting our focus in conversation to be less about what we're sharing, which is important, like the conversations go both ways, but also what is the other person sharing, and what are the things that we can find out, like, and go deeper. So they may have said something, there's probably something behind that, right? And so what are the questions that we can even dive deeper?
I love that. And one of the things that I'm reminded of is how some people, you can't help but see them. Everyone sees them.
Yeah.
But when you walk in a room, there's a lot of people who aren't used to being seen.
Yeah.
And they'll begin living in that story. And what a disruptor you can be in that story if you see the one who's usually unseen. One of my favorite things to do in the student ministry is to walk into that room and see the kid who's sitting on their phone.
Yep.
And they're kind of lost in it.
Yep.
Or the kid who's kind of outside the bubble for a moment, for whatever reason, for a moment or regularly, and go and sit down next to them and pry a little bit.
Yeah.
And because often they're not used to being seen, they're not used to really engaging in a conversation. I found when I've made that a habit, a lot of times, you know, hey, how you doing? Doesn't lead to a conversation.
Right.
So I came up with silly questions.
Yeah.
That would provoke them a little. And so I had three questions.
I was going to say, what are they?
They got used to it. It was, hey, did you get in a fight this week?
Yeah.
That's good. And they look at me like,
that's
what?
Good. Yeah.
And they go, no.
Yeah.
I'd say, oh, okay, cool. Hey, did you fall in love this week?
Yeah.
And they kind of grin a little bit usually, or like give me a weird disgusted look.
Yeah. For teenagers, it's every other week. They fall in love. Yeah.
Well, and then I've got then like one more just to knock them off their seat if they're still kind of holding back.
Sure. Again.
So did you vape this week?
There you go.
And they're like, what is this guy's problem? Right. What's he doing?
Absolutely.
But suddenly we've kind of broken through for a moment.
Yeah.
And it allows us then, the eyes go from the phone up to me.
Yeah.
I've got their attention for a minute. With little kids, what I'll do when I can't get eye attention, if a kid's wearing a blue shirt, I'll go, I love your red shirt. That is the coolest red shirt I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
And they look down at their shirt and they look at me like I'm nuts.
Yeah.
But suddenly I've made eye contact.
Yep. Yeah.
And we begin to make this human connection thing. I think there's even a power then in the demonstration of seeing people. Yeah. You're good at it. Mm. And I would love to see our church grow in it.
Yeah.
So keep leading the way in that.
I appreciate that.
Let me ask one more question.
Yeah.
We're going to keep this brief today. We're getting to know you more and more over time. I like to ask this question for everyone. I stole it from Annie Downs on her podcast. Yeah. She always ends with this. What sounds like fun to you?
Oh, that's a great question. For me, it's going to be primarily two things. Anything with a sport. We talked about that mm-hmm. a second ago. So if I can get in a soccer game, ultimate frisbee game, play pickleball, whatever the case yeah. might be, that's my happy place, right?
Love it.
Part two of that would be traveling. Yeah. Love traveling, love going new places, trying new things. And so if I can get on a plane and get out of DFW or even better, the States, mm-hmm. Then I am thrilled.
Where are some of your favorite places you've been?
So many. Spent a good amount of time in Australia and absolutely loved that. Lived, it was, felt very similar to Fort Worth on the beach. And so it was best of
Fort Worth on the beach.
Less cows and stockyards, okay. but very downtown feeling. And
never
then you
heard
can
that before.
I don't know that they would appreciate okay. me describing it like that, but yeah, you can get on a bus and you're at the beach in 10 minutes. And
oh, that's cool.
It's absolutely amazing.
Love it.
Same thing with Cape Town in South Africa. Okay. Very much has a city feel. And then it's got the best of both worlds. You've got mountains and beaches just right there. And so you have truly everything you could possibly want. You can get to the city or the country and the beach and the mountains.
That's amazing.
So if you have a picky person in your life, take them to Cape Town because they have all that. And so. Sharks and penguins. How about that?
Living and cohabitating
yep,
and
just
and
right.
total unity.
Yeah,
and
yeah
peace.
They're just best of friends,
best
right?
Of
it's
friends.
Like Finding Dory all again.
Okay. Well, you know, I've never been to either one of those, but I go to Uganda every year. So I'll just go ahead and put you on the spot. You want to go with us to Uganda?
Absolutely. Oh, sign me up.
All right, we'll buy you a ticket.
Okay.
Hey, Josh, this was fun.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you being open and sharing. I appreciate you being a part of our team. I probably should have asked who's your favorite teammate. I won't ask that today.
Right. Yeah.
But you really should think about that.
I'll consider it.
You should consider
it. I take
it.
Bribes for okay. that position in my life. So.
We're all listening. I'm thrilled you're here. I'm thrilled for what God's going to build in this next season through Legacy Students. And I'm really grateful for your heart for people. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being on the show today. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
All right. This has been But Wait, There's More. To you listening, I pray that you find some encouragement from today's conversation. Maybe it's about tightropes and sidewalks. I'm going to be thinking about that for quite a while, or maybe it's about how to practice being fully present with the person in front of you. If this challenges you or your family, share it with us. Let us know and join us again next time on But Wait, There's More.